What was it like to be there, and what did you hear from people?
It was a learning mission. It was also a mission of support and finding out what more the U.S. and NATO countries need to do to assist.
The scene there when you arrived at the border, were people carrying bags? Was it chaotic? Was it organized?
It's very organized. The Polish government has done a fabulous job. We were on the Polish side of the border, and we got very, very close to Ukraine. But everything was incredibly well organized. Thousands and thousands of people were coming across. But what was happening is they were being grouped into, I would say, smaller groups of about 100 people at a time, just for crowd control purposes. These were mostly younger and middle-aged women clutching the hands of young children, many, many, many young children. The children were greeted by volunteers who had candy and stuffed animals, which may sound a little bit trivial, but it was absolutely wonderful to see a smile on their face, their faces as they came across and got some candy and got a stuffed animal. And there were some little match cars being handed out, and the little boys that were getting the trucks were just so excited to receive them. And that made me tear up, just because I've had children myself. My children are much older now, but little things mean a lot to young children. But the women who were with them looked absolutely exhausted. In some cases, they had little wheel-on bags like you might take as a carry-on on an airplane. In other cases, they just had a simple garbage bag full of belongings. And many of them were carrying dogs and cats. And that too was really touching. You know, their entire lives have been disrupted and upset.
Yeah, you can't imagine just taking your whole life in a bag or a trash bag and running. When you were able to hear from President Zelensky, what was his message overall?
Help. His message was, we are strong. We are doing everything we possibly can. We need all the help we can get from every NATO country and any other country that will help us. We need money. We need weapons. We need humanitarian assistance. He wants a no-flyover zone, which unfortunately isn't going to happen, I don't think. And he, at that time, he was asking for this transfer of Polish planes that you've probably heard about. The Poles have 29 Russian-made old war planes called MiGs. And these MiGs, Ukrainian pilots are completely able to fly them. They were trained on them. And so the ask while we were there was for the U.S. to facilitate the transfer of these 29 MiGs, because, you know, they need them. They need them to shoot down Russian planes and that kind of thing. When we left Poland, our entire delegation was under the impression that that was going to happen imminently. So we've all been quite disappointed, and that hasn't happened. We have heard from the Pentagon. Well, what happened right after we left was that Poland decided they didn't want to transfer these planes directly to Ukraine. I think that's understandable. I'm assuming it's because they're afraid that they're the next target after Ukraine, because they're right there next to it, to that country. And they don't want to be perceived by Russia as escalating the situation. Although, quite honestly, I think Putin thinks everybody's escalating the situation, and I don't think it's going to make that much difference.
In terms of help for Ukraine, is there going to be more help on the way?
Well, we just appropriated $14 billion. What I'm anticipating is that there will be requests for more. Beyond that, I don't know what the next step would be, other than to continue the sanctions. It's going to affect the oligarchs of Russia, and it's going to affect the Russian people to an extent that he probably will not be able to remain in power. And I think that's as it should be. But unfortunately, we're looking at a long haul here, I think.